You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 4. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. It is going to be a beautiful evening tonight. Game 7 of the Cup Final. Tomorrow night, Game 6 of the NBA Finals. We get the U.S. Open starting tomorrow at Pebble Beach. I mean, this is just perfect. You cannot ask for anything better in pro sports right now. The next 3 or 4 days are going to be epic. And if you're a Raptor fan, you're hoping it ends tomorrow night, clearly.
Yeah.
But if Golden State finds a way to win tomorrow night, Sunday night.
Game 7.
Game 7. Someone's going to have to win it.
Exactly. The NBA season technically ends tomorrow or Sunday, where the NHL season, done tonight.
Done tonight. And I get the impression in both leagues, you know, every GM outside of the four remaining, with teams actually still playing,
right?
Boston, St. Louis, Toronto, Golden State, they are working up a storm. Like, there are reports, almost hourly reports, on what's going on with Anthony Davis in the NBA. Sounds like the Lakers and the Celtics are working on a three-way deal. Now, I don't know if he would go to L.A. or if he would go to Boston,
right?
But they're all working this out to try to get that deal done. And I have to believe the NBA probably telling them, you don't make the deal until after the finals is over. Yeah, you think? I mean, can you do that? Like, technically, they're allowed to make trades, but you don't want to steal the spotlight from your final.
We generally want everybody to keep it under wraps and just wait.
It wouldn't be that hard to be like, announce it next Monday. Or, you know.
Yeah, right when it's over, go ahead.
Either announce it Friday or Monday, you know, depending on what happens. You're right. Like, you don't want to. The problem is, as we all know, one of those insiders will get it.
It's going to get out.
That's the information process. Like, you can squash it from an in-house perspective. You can't squash it when an agent tells an insider or a friend of a friend. You know how it gets out.
Well, and especially in the NBA, I saw Duthie tweet out, and he's obviously in Golden State, that all day today on radio and TV down there, for the most part, it's all about Kevin Durant and his injury and why he played and who's to blame for it and how will it affect his free agency. And no one's actually talking about the game.
Yeah.
Like, the Raptors kind of getting off the hook. They were up 6 at home with a chance to close it, and no one's kind of going at them.
Yeah.
Down there, people are talking about it up here, clearly. But now this Anthony Davis news is going to take up a lot of oxygen before you even get to the game tomorrow night.
Just give it one. Give it till Monday. That's all you got to do.
Do you think the Leafs, if they have a deal done, do you think they'll wait until the Raptors are finished?
No, I would wait till tomorrow morning. That's the NHL season. You don't rely or care about other sports.
Well, I know, but they share an owner is my point.
Yeah, like the Raptors.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they care about the NBA, but I could see Tannenbaum being like, actually, that's not going to be happening right now.
Well, the Blue Jays did it with Guerrero Jr., the kid.
Yeah, but that's exclusively Rogers.
Let me just rewind here, and I got into a spat with a guy. I think they announced that Toronto was hosting the Grey Cup. Excuse me, park the brakes. We're hiring Mike Babcock also. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So they didn't do that at that particular moment.
I don't think MLSE owned the Argos yet, but I hear
yes,
you.
Yes, they
right.
did.
What I'm saying, and it's not about the ownership, it's about the marketplace.
Yeah.
So I'm saying the Blue Jays didn't call up the kid when, wasn't it the Raptors and the Leafs playing at the same time?
Yeah, the Leafs went out, and then they took a couple of days to announce that
he was coming up on Friday, and he announced on a Wednesday. But they're all aware of the market. Right now, the oxygen is the Raptors. So I don't think the Leafs on Game 6 or Game 7 is going to come out and go, yeah, we traded Patrick Marleau. Like, I think you can probably wait a day or find a day in between. I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah, I am. Although I would say that if it's a deal that maybe isn't a real winner, it's more of an economical deal. It's a cap
deal. Yeah, you traded Patrick Marleau
to Arizona.
Then
maybe you do kind of just slide it under the radar while the Raptors are still playing.
Kind of like the Atkins extension?
Yeah, basically. Like, now, if Mitch Marner, if you get a deal done with him, that you can hold off.
Right.
Because the deal's been worked out. You're staying here. There's no worry.
Right.
You know that it's done.
Right.
But a Marleau deal, I think for the most part, people will react positively because the money's coming off the books, and fairly or unfairly, a lot of people have kind of turned on that contract and Patrick Marleau by extension because of it.
Right.
But it might not be the worst idea if you're working out a deal that really isn't a winner necessarily. Get it out there now, and people are like, oh, that's an interesting deal. But the Raptors are playing tonight.
Well,
like a news dump. Okay, the Leafs have never in my lifetime, I can't think of an opportunity where they have been able to basically dump some news.
Okay, so then.
And the city wouldn't react to
it. What would be a news dump then? A Zaitsev traded for a draft pick? So you do that if the Raptors win on parade day? You do it on that day?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, although if they're not eating money and he's just off the books, I think people...
parade day is a little much. I mean, isn't parade day, you kind of give them the parade day?
Yeah, but if you're going to give them the parade day, then you got to give them the day of the game.
So what in your mind is off limits? What's off limits?
As of tomorrow, the NHL offseason begins, right? Like every team is waiting. There's going to be trades by the end of the weekend. I believe that. Or signings or something.
No, sure. Like what? The only team is the Toronto Maple Leafs that might hold off. Any other team is going to be just guns a-blazing.
But that's the danger, too, because Dubas, right. I think, would have to explain it. I got to make this deal. The other team's not. They don't care that the Raptors are in the NBA Finals.
Do you think the Raptors care that they came out with some news? Who cares? They don't care. You think Nick Nurse cares that Zaitsev got traded or any? Who cares?
Of course it's not about Nick Nurse or them.
It doesn't matter.
It's the attention that would come with it.
Yeah.
The Maple Leafs have the ability to overshadow, although I'm not sure they do in this instance. You know, again, I can't think of another time, maybe outside of when the Jays were in the playoffs in 15 and 16, where, you know, day of game five, or even the day after the bat flip game, I don't think the Leafs were going to make a ton of news that would have led to them being front page material or leading SportsCenter or whatever.
Right.
I think probably the same thing applies here, unless it's something major.
So tomorrow's a taboo day for Leaf news. If you're Steve Keel and they've got an announcement to make, he probably advises Shanny or
I would say
Kyle,
perfect world, you don't do it tomorrow.
Yeah, let's push it to Friday.
If you can.
But you might have to push it to Monday, because if they win tomorrow night, Friday would be, you know, all about the Raps. And, oh, by the way, we just did this. Like, that would take up some oxygen, because the Leafs do take oxygen in this market, regardless of what's going on.
Remember when Casey was fired in the morning, and then in the afternoon the Leafs announced that Kyle Dubas got the job?
Oh, yeah.
Now, they have always claimed, and all the reports have indicated, that, you know, they weren't on the same page. But I kind of felt like they were working together there. Like, we're going to fire the coach of the year. We could really use some help here. Oh, Kyle Dubas got hired, or got the job. And then all of a sudden people are like, oh, okay, I guess we'll go look over here and start talking about that.
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe they would work like that. Like, if you were running the basketball and I'm doing, I don't care what you do. I mean, obviously you got some people in the press that are doing the same things, but I got to do my thing. You got to do your thing. You want to fire your coach? Go ahead. I'm hiring my guy today.
Mm-hmm. I think they do talk, though.
As much as they're a team, it's a group. You got to do what you got to do.
You're right, but I do think they talk. Like, if you're good PR people, and Steve Keogh is a fantastic public relations, I guess you'd call him manager for the Leafs. Like, he's going to know the pressure points. And he will advise the people above him to say, might not be the best day to announce because this is going on. They may say, you know what, we have to.
Well, yes, and that's, like, don't get me wrong. If Dubas has to make a deal, you have to make a deal.
Yeah, if the deal has to be done tomorrow,
then you've got to make that deal.
Player X is going for player
X. Doesn't matter when it is, you've got to make that trade.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, in an ideal world, and I could see, again, it's not even Keogh's decision. This has nothing to do with him.
Right.
This is all the way up the chain. Yeah. Actually, about that, today's all about
this
team.
Is Larry Tannenbaum or
yeah,
somebody
so
like that.
If you can, you know, that wouldn't surprise me. If I was an owner, I would, you know, try to isolate. Hey, everyone's focused on one thing right now.
Yeah, you don't want to.
You know, all hands are on deck here.
But I
understand Dubas has got a job to do. He's got to do it.
They're not going to stop working because one team is having success. They all are working to have success.
Right, exactly. But you know, again, I think with the Casey and Dubas stuff, they weren't working together. Like, Messiah and Shanahan weren't saying, hey, what's your opinion on this? Do you think I should fire this guy?
Yeah,
do you think?
No.
But you can't convince me that the owners didn't know that this was happening at the same time.
Yes.
Like, I'll never believe that for a second. You can't hire a guy and fire a guy without the owners knowing.
Exactly.
That's not the way the world works.
No. Any guests in this show today, or what the hell's going on? Are we getting blown off?
I'm in the middle of a rant here in a conversation. Talk to the grappler. I don't know. That's not my call. Ray's coming on in a minute. He's getting through security.
Yeah.
You got anything else to say?
No, how about a comment or two? He's like looking at things like, okay, yeah, what's going on here with the show?
Usually it's like 5:02, the guy's on, and I'm like, another guy blew us off.
It's 5:05 or 5:06.
Windhorse gave us the Heisman.
Did he?
No, we tried. We asked him if he could come on. He said, well, I'll try, and I don't think he could do it.
No.
You're trying to get Rich Eisen on Twitter. Like, you're.
I know the guy. If he followed me, I'd DM him and say, we'd love to have your opinion.
Well, he responded, and Franklin.
Rich Eisen did?
Yeah. Because Franklin wrote, who's Rich. A director, he said, Rich is a brilliant broadcaster who had a terrible take. Would love to hear his view. And he wrote back, what did I say?
Uh-oh.
And then Troy chimed in and said, go on Overdrive to discuss.
Oh, he said, yes, what time to call in?
Okay, well, I don't know when we can do this because we've got Ray's coming on, we got Jerry's, we got Justin Williams. We'll get him on, we'll figure it out. Just let the grappler deal with that.
Exactly.
We'll get in contact with Rich because we would like to get a further explanation. For those of you that are just tuning in, he was critical of Kaelin Kyle, who's an analyst for our World Cup coverage on TSN. She didn't like the U.S. women's celebrations, the elaborate celebrations.
After the ninth goal.
And it was 9-0, 10-0. She said she didn't like it.
And then Rich went after us and said, any Canadians that have any right to say anything after the nonsense with the Kevin Durant.
Right.
So 1,500 idiots are being stupid, and now no Canadian can go on TV and say anything about their job.
Which is obviously such a ridiculous take.
Yeah.
And a guy in sports media like Rich, who's been doing this for a long time and is a great broadcaster, should know better than to see. Because, so if one American does something ridiculous, then Rich Eisen can't have a comment on a totally separate
issue? Well, listen to the president. None of them should be able to talk.
Well, listen, it's so stupid to suggest that because some people in a building had a reaction to something that someone else who wasn't even there
can't have
an opinion on a totally separate discussion.
He says he's calling in. It's up to you to figure it out.
We'll get to the bottom of it.
He has a show, and that was his hot take. He's allowed it.
Oh, everyone's allowed a take, but we're all allowed an opinion on top of his opinion.
Exactly. You're allowed a rebuttal. And
well, we'll see if he wants to come on and explain himself.
Well, I don't think he follows the grappler. Like, what do we? Would you want me to write in and tell him a time? Yeah, because you're gonna be the. Be the heater.
I'll challenge him on that.
You can't be 37 under at the No Balls Open.
Well, you can't just look at your phone the whole time either. You got to be engaged as well.
That's right.
All right, so we're all in it together. We'll see if we can get Rich on here. I'm not going to attack the guy.
No, he's coming on, and he's a famous broadcaster. All he did was have a take, and he lumped everyone in with it.
All of Canada can't have an opinion on any topic.
But I think what you have more of a problem with is that he tied a parallel to the Toronto fans and the overreaction last night to a ninth goal celebration.
Right.
I don't know if there's much of a parallel.
There is no parallel. That's
there
the
you
point.
Go.
Just because. Well, again, like, Canadians should watch.
The only thing I would say is a parallel is the outrage, because there's just outrage on everything. You know, I said this yesterday. That wasn't 20,000 people in the building. You were there. You said, yeah, you could hear it, but it wasn't overwhelming when KD went down and there were some people that were shocked. And I'm sure there was some initial reaction, but you know, ultimately, it was probably a couple thousand dopes that got ahead of themselves and probably have a little bit of regret afterwards, but it's not a big deal.
Yeah,
regret 30 seconds later. They cheered the guy off the court.
Exactly. So,
and Lowry and Ibaka have done a great job because they were the ones that were in the middle of it saying, hey, guys, all right, let's kind of relax
move on. And
they've stuck up for their fans, and I think they've made the appropriate comments the past couple of days where they told the media down in Golden State, listen, Everyone gets emotional. It's a crazy night. Yeah. Kevin Durant represents, at the time, he was, you know, a villain in Toronto, a sports villain, not a real-life villain.
Right.
But he was the boogeyman, like we've been saying for the longest time. The initial reaction was what it was. And then the second that everyone kind of calmed down, the cheering stopped in terms of it being kind of dark or nefarious or whatever. And it became, you know, cheerful for him. You know, there was a lot of sorrow in the building where people were like, hey, this sucks for Kevin Durant. And
for an
he
athlete,
got a huge KD chant. And no one's mentioning that. Like, no one's talking about that.
I saw, I mean, this is the thing. Like, you don't, the pendulum, it swings all over the place. But, like, I see people making a GoFundMe. Like, you don't need
well,
to do
that.
Well,
that's equally, yes,
it's ridiculous.
GoFundMe is just, there should be a limitation on that where people can't be idiots about it. Yeah. Like, can't there be that? Is it that hard to do that?
A GoFundMe in general?
Yeah, like, you know how they do the dumb GoFundMe? Like, GoFundMe to get this guy out of town to trade.
Yeah, people did run for Jake Gardner or something.
It's just so stupid. There should be limitations where it can't happen.
Yeah.
Wow. It's coming. You're starting to see censorship on both sides of the coin politically. Facebook, honestly, in the States, Facebook is blocking.
I know, that has nothing to do with the GoFundMe page, though. Like,
but if you're seeing censorship and that type of stuff, guaranteed they're going to step in and go, this is an asinine thing. We're not going to allow it.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what I'm saying.
I guess potentially. But at the same time, I think GoFundMe is just an apparatus where they're like, it's your money. We're just giving you, if you want to put your money in, go ahead.
Yeah, giving you a platform.
Like, I don't think it's GoFundMe's responsibility to determine what you're doing with your money.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't think it's ridiculous.
It is.
But if I'm GoFundMe, I'm like, listen, I've just set up the site. Like, you guys do whatever you want.
GoFundMe has done some great things. And I think of Humboldt. It wasn't a $15 million that they raised.
Yep, there's a lot of money.
You see some
the floods in Houston,
stuff like that. There's people that get sick and need help, and a GoFundMe page goes out. Those are fantastic. The other ones are just people being dopes.
Well, I think what leads to a lot of reaction is when there's a GoFundMe set up for someone who's already like loaded with money. Like, let's get a GoFundMe going for Justin Bieber because he's not feeling well today. It's like, I don't think Bieber needs your money.
Yeah,
that's what I want to stop.
Yeah, that would be smart because then you're doing people a service where you're like, you guys are being really stupid here and you're about to dump $100 into Bieber's pocket for some reason.
Exactly.
Where he really doesn't need it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just assuming Ray's out of the mix, so.
Well, he's probably.
Ray's had enough.
But if he's gone through security and stuff, I can't imagine his temperament. You don't want him on. If he's going through security to get into the garden,
that's what he was doing. Yeah. He said, you got to give me a couple of minutes because I'm going through security. And that was 15 minutes ago.
You know why? It's because guaranteed it is under lock and key tonight.
Well, I guess they made an adjustment after the whole Doug Armstrong stuff came out with him yelling at the ice crew. Now the media is not allowed down there anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I saw that report. Because
like for morning skates or anything?
Yeah,
that's not possible. They got to be able to do their job.
Probably in a certain area.
That's what they said, in a certain area. Like, you're allowed wherever you're allowed, but back here, you're not allowed here.
If I can paint a picture for you. Boston has a really dysfunctional way of getting up to the press box. Like, there's only these two giant freight elevators, and it's kind of, it is a mismatch. You can take the stairs, which is a pain in the ass to get up and down, and so it is a bit of a gong show there anyways, and I believe it's by the Zamboni area. So it wouldn't surprise me. You're kind of right here, and you go over, and you could have some words with the Zamboni guy easily if you wanted to, and we're pissed off. So I'm sure it's probably the traffic has been steered clear, but it is a...
Although it's not the media's fault that Doug Armstrong is popping off.
Not at all.
The ice crew is going back.
Wouldn't you pop off, too, if you're looking and the Zamboni's sitting there, all this magically broken down right in front of the entrance?
I would probably have a comment, but I'm saying, you know, he made the comment. It's not like the media...
It's not his fault, but the media, you know, the media reported it. That's it.
Yeah.
I would hand out a let's go.
I think it's the end of the world, but...
I would love to hand out a let's go.
I think the NHL, like a lot of these leagues, they want to control as much as they can.
I should give a quick shout out. I was in Home Depot the other day. A guy named Trevor comes up to me and he's like, hey, fan of the show and that. And we're standing in line and the lady was kind of a little bit slow. And he goes, let's go. He leans over and goes, let's go. Right, Noodles? I was like, no, I don't want to yell that out. But
you're the let's go guy. It's on your resume now. Everyone knows
should
you.
Should be. Let's
that's
move
your,
it along.
That's your
here.
Saying.
Let's go.
Mark texting in saying, what's your take on this whole Bieber wanting to fight Tom Cruise? Yeah, he issued a challenge to Tom Cruise. What's the point of that, though? Why would Tom Cruise?
Like a fist fight?
Yeah, he wants to fight him in the octagon, apparently.
UFC octagon, and he tagged Dana White with it.
There's no way this isn't promotion or something.
Something, or either that, or he's...
Movie, something.
He's gunned out of his tree one night at 3 o'clock in the morning and tweets that out.
But why Tom Cruise, yeah, of
like
all
that's
people?
Me, like, at 3 in the morning saying, I want Gino Retta in the Kumite.
Right. Like, Tom Cruise, out of nowhere, you're the guy. And I think Cruise would beat the hell out of Bieber. Personally, even though he's...
But he's not Tom the guy
Cruise
from Mission Impossible.
Like
he's 5'2".
How big do you think Bieber is? Bieber's smaller than Cruise.
I don't know.
They're Bieber, Cruise, Kumite?
I'm on Cruise. Cruise apparently does all his own stunts.
Yeah.
Like, he's tough, man. He's broken a lot of bones and...
I think Bieber just old school Stratford beats the hell out of him.
Yeah, like Bieber could be scrappy.
Behind an alleyway.
He could be scrappy. You never know.
You know that scrappy little guy you don't think's tough that just punches you in the face? Time, I think Bieber.
Yeah, maybe. I think Cruise is, you know, kind of in a similar spot. They're both Hollywood guys.
Maybe Scientology is like a cover for like a UFC fight, like a fight club.
Other stuff.
Isn't Tom Cruise in...
Cruise is a Scientologist.
Yeah.
Bieber's involved in some other church
know.
Now
I
religion
know nothing
or something.
About, like,
but...
I'm the wrong person to talk.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. All right.
So we don't have Rich Eisen. We don't have Ray Ferraro.
No, but we do have Jerry's percentages.
Which is...
That is happening, okay?
What we need.
We're going to get to Jerry's next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a f***ing
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry! You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, Jerry's percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken. From 2 people to 300, let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 on the Queensway or online at bestpc.ca. Jerry will be in the building tonight. Stanley Cup, we believe, will be in the building tonight.
No rainstorms. Doesn't sound like it. He's either calling Chara or the other cat for St. Louis.
All right. Let's see what Jerry has. He's got an opening statement. Very important evening tonight. Let's see what kind of mood he's in this afternoon.
June 16th, 2015. The most embarrassing day of Jerry's illustrious Hall of Fame career. There I was, the great Jerry, standing at center ice of the United Center in Chicago with no f***ing Stanley Cup, while Philip Harry Dunn Pritchard was Bobby Big Wheeling it with the ladies and leaving Jerry in filthy, filthy pigeon mode. Better not happen again, Pritchard, or I'll put you in a camel clutch right at center ice and shove those pearly white gloves where the sun don't shine. And you know exactly what I mean.
That sounded like a threat to me.
Yeah.
That is quite forceful.
He will never be left out at center ice again. Do you remember how rattled he was?
It felt like an eternity.
He was turning around with steam coming out of his ears, looking at people. Where is Philip?
Where is Pritchard in the cup? Like, we've had this date circled for a long time.
Yeah. Like, doesn't sneak up on you.
No, the cup was going to be won tonight. Maybe get the cup in the building. I don't think that'll be a problem this evening. And if it is,
he's in big trouble.
We've got action on our hands. All right, you guys ready for the takes?
Here's what Jerry will be saying after game 7 tonight. Alex Petrit Jangelo, whatever the f*** your name is, come and get the Stanley Cup.
That is a tough handle. He's got the
there
blues.
Are so many. I don't even know the proper one.
Petrangelo.
I heard it's Petrangelo. Petrangelo.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say Pietra. Like, it's just, yeah. I think it's Petrangelo.
Everyone has a different.
He'll take tomato or tomato as long as he wins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry's saying that's exactly what will happen tonight.
20%. I think Boston rolls tonight. I think the big boys show up for Boston. They steamroll them. That's just my thought. 20%.
Yeah, I can't go there, man. I think Boston, they have to be favored, clearly, at home. But this whole playoff has been so unpredictable.
Yeah, it has.
Jordan Binnington has been unbelievable.
He's 12-3 and bounce after a loss.
Yeah, I'm going to say 49%. 49% St. Louis wins tonight. Truly a coin flip. Slight favor to the home team.
49%. See, I was going to go 50. I'll go 17%.
So you were going to go 50, and now you're 17%.
Yeah, you got to choose one or the other.
So now you're on Boston big tonight.
Tough for St. Louis to win three games.
They've already done it twice.
Yeah.
They've already done it in the playoffs.
I know. I'm just saying. Like, it's...
What,
you
Dallas
gotta choose.
Series or...?
They did it against Winnipeg.
I know.
They won the first two games in Winnipeg and then game...
Six.
Whatever it was, yeah. And did they do it against Dallas, too? I can't remember.
I don't know.
San Jose, maybe? I don't remember.
I want to say 50, but I'm going to go 17.
Okay. All right.
No reason, because
I
told
it's
you.
It's a great game. That's
the minute,
all I'm asking
the
for
minute,
tonight.
People ask me, like, what do you think? I'm like, I don't know. The minute Tampa went out, all hell
That's
went out
I'm
the
saying.
Window.
That's
so
what I'm saying.
I don't have these two... Teams are fantastic.
Okay.
That's it.
Tonight's Game 7 is more likely to be a high-scoring game than a low-scoring game. Jerry wants the high-scoring game, and he'll go nuts after the game with Bill Daly.
High-scoring.
That's what Jerry's calling for tonight. 4-3, 5-4.
I could see 4-1 high-scoring.
Well, no.
Didn't we have a Jerry's where it was going to be five goals or more in like five?
On average, yeah.
On average, and I think it's been higher.
I think it's going to be 4-1, so what does that make it?
I would say that's a low-scoring game.
Then 10%. Because the percentage is on a high-scoring game.
That's what Jerry's saying. He thinks there'll be a lot of goals tonight.
Don't you think in Game 7 the nerves are a little bit different than normal and things aren't free-flowing? And
I think it's going to be a low-scoring game tonight.
I'm going 10%, but I think 4-1 is kind of not low scoring.
I'll
with an
say
empty netter, too, probably.
25%. 25% it's a high scoring game tonight.
31%. The only reason being is that Tuukka Rask has been brilliant, and so has Binnington. But
I think
just
Blues,
when you expect it to be a 2-1 game, it's a 5-4 game.
But St. Louis probably wants it to be a low scoring game, right? Like they're going to try to grind Boston
into
the ground.
Both teams do.
Yeah.
Nobody wants any kind of... Let's have this a 6-5 shootout.
Yeah. 4-3 is a high-scoring game.
Yeah, that would count.
I think 5 or plus total goals is a high-scoring game.
Yeah.
I'm going high-scoring. 37, 31, something like that.
Okay.
Jerry's percentage on Twitter will...
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Typical Bush League activity coming out of Canada this week with the cheering of Kevin Durant's injury. If Adam Silver had any brains, he'd pull a Jerry and ship the Raptors off to an American city after the finals. Now, as for Kevin Durant, he'll sign a long-term deal this summer.
That's a good one.
95%. You talked about it, and the one word is desperation, and it doesn't even take desperation to sign a talent like that. For a team like the New York Knicks, who... just are beyond desperation. Oh, it's awfully difficult to say, you know what, we got our shiny new toy.
That's the thing from a marketing standpoint.
Yeah.
Shiny new toy, you can see him in 12 to 14 months.
Right. Well, didn't Dallas just trade for Porzingis? But it's like, this guy can't play for...
Yeah.
He's not playing for a year.
He's not going to play for a while. Yeah.
It's just...
Similar type,
it's just an awkward thing to say, hey, this is an awesome talent, but you're going to have to wait for it.
I'm 84%. He signs a long-term deal.
I'm going to go a little bit lower just because I don't know exactly where he wants to play. You're like, what if he doesn't want to go to New York? Like, everyone just assumes, because that's what the report is, maybe the Knicks are willing to give him a long-term deal, but what if he really wants to stay in Golden State, and they're like, listen, we got to give you the Boogie Cousins treatment, basically. Like, we're up against the cap. We can't, although they can go over it. It's a luxury tax because he's their own guy. I don't know. I mean,
what,
the guy,
define long term, three or more?
A 3 or 4 year deal.
Okay, you know, he's
basically
getting that.
A 3 or 4 year deal.
He's getting that every day of the week.
Yeah,
if he
I'm
wants
changing.
That.
It's 100%.
Yeah,
it's 100%.
He's getting that every day of the week if he wants. He
can get it anywhere. Of course,
he's
Memphis would give it to him today. You know, there are teams that would give it to him.
But what team wouldn't give him that? I guess based on, like, what team would not give Kevin Durant a 4 year deal?
Well, the Raptors wouldn't if Kawhi resigns because they can't.
Right.
Like, there are teams that can't. You're up against the cap, and you're like, right. I can't give you that monster deal anyway. I can give you this and hope you return by the playoffs. Like, that would be an interesting angle.
But it's not about the money. It's term we're talking.
Right. No, I know
so
that.
You could give him a Boogie Cousins. Well, so you're saying give him the 1 year, $5 million.
A cheap one. Hey, come
and
here,
then
rehab.
And re-sign him next summer.
I was talking to somebody yesterday. I don't know. I forget who it was. For guys that are, like, you know, the teams that say, give us eight teams, and they don't want to leave.
Yeah.
They pick the eight teams that the guy's making a lot of money with just salary problems, and they're like, there you go.
Exactly.
Now, there you go. I'll go there. And they're like, well, we can't. Well, exactly.
Yeah. I think that's what Kessel's basically done. Like, Phil's got an eight-team yes, and I think he just said, I'm going to control this because these teams can't possibly deal for me.
Yeah,
you know, it's a brilliant move. Then you control the whole process. I still think there's going to be a lot of people that are willing, you know, and you could see teams, he may not get it July 1st. It may be teams that were going after, like the Clippers are an interesting one. What if the Clippers don't sign these two max contracts that they're trying to sign? Let's say Kawhi re-signs here and a couple of guys are like, we're not interested. They would definitely give him the long-term deal because they got all the cap space next year, whatever. They're probably not going to win anyway. Uh-huh. But does he want to be there? I'll say 60%. Not that he can't get a long-term deal. Of course he can. It's just a matter of whether or not he would want to accept it from the team that's willing to offer it.
Durant's got to decide by the 29th, doesn't he?
In terms of Golden State, what he's going to do there?
Yeah,
I guess so.
Player option, opt-out?
Yeah, he does. He's got a player option. So that's an interesting one, too. Does he opt in and just say, you know what, I'll take the money and stick around and
rehab? Yeah, because I got a good chance to win next year again and then do it all again the year
after. Exactly.
After.
They get back to the finals. He could play in the – imagine we're right back there again. Will he play in the finals again? But it's more him just returning from rehab. This Durant story is going to be fascinating because, like, there's a report out today that no one wants to go to the Lakers. Adrian Wojnarowski saying all the big prominent free agents.
That's flat out nuts.
They don't want to go there. So you may have another season with LeBron just being on a, like,
on
irrelevant
island.
And no Kevin Durant. Like, that's going to be a very different looking NBA next year.
I've had just about enough of this Brooks Koepka character, but the dude can play golf. He's got massive biceps too. And he'll finish top five at the U.S. Open this week.
I got to go really high on that. I'll say 80%. 80% Koepka's top five.
I got to go higher than that. I think he's so dialed in right now. The thing is, that course, they have tiny little greens. I don't know if it's like a masher course where you just...
Yeah, not a lot of drivers on that course, like six or seven.
Yeah, remember, like, when Tiger dominated there, it was like a two-iron fest, but...
He's so good.
Yeah, he's so good. I'm going to go 95%. He's just, he's that dialed in right now.
16%.
You think it's finally coming back?
It's wishful thinking, I think.
Yeah, well, listen, like O said, it's a totally different course. You know, the rough is out of control at a U.S. Open. The greens are small. The conditions, we'll find out. I can't wait. Like, it's...
Yeah, the hero mode, though, at some point, it's going to catch up.
Oh, yeah. People should be fired because he's not included in a promotional clip.
We got to track to see if somebody did get fired.
Yeah. Doesn't care if the ball even goes in the cup at the Canadian Open.
Yeah.
I don't even care if it goes in.
Like, why wouldn't you just say, I'd like it to go in, but if it doesn't, that's okay, as long as my mechanics are okay.
But no, he just didn't care.
I really don't care if it goes in.
Sticking with the U.S. Open, Tiger Woods is still hung over from the Masters, and he'll miss another cut this weekend.
Interesting call. Interesting call. Tiger missing the cut at Pebble.
I'm going to go 15%. I saw him today walking around the course, although it means nothing. I'm just going to go by some body language. Well, the fact he's there... As opposed to wheeling up in the Wearsey-mobile 10 minutes before his tee time.
Yeah, the PGA Championship was not. He knew he wasn't going to play well.
It was just.
He didn't even take any practice rounds.
Not even a niner.
No, he just had his yacht. He's like, I'm good.
Yeah.
A nine and dine he could have had.
Yeah, he was in cruise control at the PGA.
Yeah.
He's in a different mode today.
That's like you just taking the winter off and wheeling up to the Tam O'Shanter in overalls and cowboy boots and teeing it up.
Overalls. Nobody wears overalls anymore, do they?
I've seen some people in overalls recently. I think it's going to make a comeback. You'd be surprised.
With both of them done up? Because it used to be one would be undone.
Right, right.
I don't
know. That was when you were really hip. Like, if you were really cool enough to pull that off, it was a tough look.
Would you do no tarp, but overalls?
Oh, that's the redneck way, man. You've got to pull that off.
I couldn't do that.
Tiger missing the cut. I don't see it either. I think he's locked in. I think he's...
I don't know if he's locked in. It's kind of... Although he did win the Masters, it's just he's at that point where who knows what you're going to get.
Yeah. He played well a couple of weeks ago, though. Like at the Memorial, he played pretty well.
Yeah, he had an unbelievable finishing round.
Yeah.
I'm 6%.
I'll say 20% just to go a bit ahead of you guys, but I was watching the Golf Channel this afternoon and they did a segment on the grip of his club. And I'm watching it.
His grip or the grips that are on his golf club?
The grips that he uses on like the actual grips, like the rubber grips. I have a picture of it, I'll post it. And I'm watching this, and I'm into it because it's Tiger, but I'm like, the U.S. Open starts tomorrow. Like, Koepka's going to be there, and Rory McIlroy, and they're like, let's have a breakdown of Tiger's gripping decisions on all of his irons, like a full board
made up. Yeah, it's like a Golf Pride cord grip.
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay,
that's boring
cool,
TV.
But it's basically, what can we get out of Tiger? Like, that's what it is. How far can we go with the Tiger?
Dude, I watched it today. It was just, that camera was on him walking around practice putting and chipping at Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
The whole time.
The whole time when I watched it, too. He was
they
on the
might
lane.
Have showed Rory hit five wedge shots. Dustin Johnson hit five wedge shots. The rest was him tooting around out there.
Oh, yeah.
With, who was he with? He was with Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, and Kevin Kisner. And it was just, that was it.
Yeah. He was on the range. They had the whole thing set up, like the loft. The swing speed, like they were, it was a full analysis of him on the range.
And you said he
looked
good.
And I love it. I was watching it. Like I wasn't going to turn away. I'm all about Tiger, but you can understand why other golfers are probably like,
are you serious?
Yeah. Like Koepka's like, I'm not even in the promotion. You know, I've won the past two U.S. Opens, but go ahead. You know, discuss what kind of foot joys Tiger's going to be wearing this weekend. All right, we got any more? Let's go.
Last but not least, and as much as this sickens Jerry to say, the Toronto Raptors will win one of the next two games and win the NBA championship.
Jerry has got the Raptors winning the title.
85%. I think they win the title. I know it's not a good situation going back there, but two to get one, I think they're too good.
Yeah, I'm high on that.
And their three-point shooting can't get any worse.
Or Golden State's get any better when, like, you look at the numbers they put up in Game 5.
Yeah.
Like, shooting the lights out.
47%?
Yeah, 47%. And the volume, the amount of shots they put up and hit.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking finals records, you know. Like, I just don't think Golden State's going to be able to do that. And even with those numbers, they won by 1 point.
Yeah.
100%.
What are you? 85?
95.
I feel real good about the Raptors.
I thought you said 85.
I'm pretty sure I said 95.
You said 85.
It doesn't matter. Which one do you
want
to go?
Okay, if I said 85, I meant 95.
It's not a science. You can change your mind.
82%.
Look at you being a hater over there.
Oh, yes, hater.
82% hating on the Raptors.
82% loving on the Raptors. 18%.
Right.
Saying you never know.
Well, that's the truth. I mean, Golden State, it is the Warriors we're talking about here. If it was any other team, your confidence level would be even higher. Yeah. I think your confidence level should be very high.
I think they win.
Yeah, it's been the better team.
But
until you do it.
A little bit. Until you do it.
Yeah,
and you
for
gotta,
sure.
You know, I think Thursday will be a very tough game.
Well, and let's be honest, the percentages will change based on what happens tomorrow night.
Yeah.
If all of a sudden you get to a game seven, then people are like, okay, now we're closer to a coin flip.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Justin Williams, Mr. Game 7 himself, who tore his Achilles. So it's a perfect opportunity to get into what Kevin Durant's going through,
yeah,
and what the Bruins and Blues are going through tonight.
Might get to him a little later.
Is Rich Eisen going to come on? Like, what's going on here?
Might have Rich Eisen a little bit earlier, maybe.
Ooh, we
Mr.
got Rich
Game
Eisen.
7.
Okay, Rich is going to come on. He's going to explain what he was talking about on his own radio show today, where he wasn't happy about Canadians criticizing.
Painted us all with the same brush.
Right, because some people booed Kevin Durant. You're not allowed to have an opinion on the American goal celebration debate.
Don't we'll be see. On your cell phone the whole time.
That's not my call, man. I'll be locked in and ready to go.
Yeah.
Rich Eisen coming up in about 20 minutes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so Rich Eisen will join us from the NFL Network, and he's got a syndicated radio show down in the States. I think it's televised as well. I don't know if we've had Rich on before on Overdrive. I know I've had him on my show back in the day.
The Brian Hayes show?
I believe he was.
And by the way, we're not going to go berserk on Rich.
Absolutely.
We just want to pick his brain and get kind of his angle on what his comments were.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I don't think we're going to spend 15 minutes talking about that. We'll get his take on a number of things if he's up for that.
Right.
That's cool to have Rich Eisen on. We'll see.
I told you, this guy's a big star.
Right. I vehemently disagree with what he said on the show today.
That's fine, though. That you're allowed. Like, he's allowed his opinion. You're allowed yours. Like, you guys can. Like, there's no harm in him giving his side and you giving your side. Like,
right.
But you're not. He's not coming on for you to attack him.
Well, I think he's a little bit concerned about that. Like, you know, the sports radio way sometimes it can be a
That's
bit of a jungle.
That's not our game. That's not our game.
We're not going to yell and scream and carve anybody. We're not, you know, going to have him on to basically run them off the air.
Yeah, like those turkeys from Boston. They had the guy from Carolina, Chip Alexander, and like, we don't like the way you talk. We're not talking hockey.
That was disrespectful. That was
that's
idiotic.
A joke. That's not our game.
No,
that's not how we play.
No.
So that won't be happening. But I do want to get him to explain it a little bit more. And I guess he'll probably, you know, I didn't hear his opinion on the goal celebration by the Americans. And
right.
Maybe he's all good with it. Maybe he loves it. I don't know. We'll find out what he has to say about
and
that.
And once we get the dust settled on that, you should ask him about.
So what is the
Green Bay Packers?
What is the lead? Is it like, what do you think?
Well, I think we play the clip. We'll play the clip because
that's
why
my idea.
What, to play the clip?
Yeah.
So you think we get Rich on the line? He's on hold while we play the clip, his own clip, and then we get him the comments.
No, not on hold.
Say Rich,
get him on, and then
you want to respond to these comments or tell us what you meant by this.
Right. Okay, and for those of you wondering what we're talking about, again, he was discussing.
Why don't you fire it up right now so we can kind of give him a little.
We have enough time for a little bit of a teaser? Okay, this was Rich Eisen on his own radio program earlier today.
In terms of someone from Canada going on national television and waving their finger, sort of like tisking an American reaction in sports after we saw what fans did when Durant went down in Toronto, I would just basically hold on to that stone before throwing it at a glass house. Or make sure that somebody else has not got a stone in your glass house.
So again, I
don't even know what that means, actually. Someone's got a stone in your glass house?
Well, I guess what he's saying is, are the fans that were cheering the Durant injury were holding a stone, and Canada is the glass house. So because of that reaction, then Kale and Kyle can't have a reaction about
basically saying you
goal celebrations
you
of the World
judge,
Cup. It doesn't make any sense.
You shouldn't be judging others when people can be judging you.
But
that's what.
Again, I think Rich knows better. We'll find out if he's willing to kind of step back off that or whatever. But Canadians are not all the same.
And they weren't all at the Raptors
game.
They
weren't all at the Raptors
game. There were 1,500 people being stupid
for
approximately 30 seconds.
And moreover, Rich understands if you're on a panel, you're there to give an opinion.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean everyone's going to agree with it or disagree with it, but it's not Kale and Kyle's responsibility to say, sorry, I'm going to have to plead the fifth on this one because, you know, people were cheering Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
It's not the way it works. So Rich Eisen will join us. We'll get into that with him. Justin Williams coming up in the next hour, too. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.